This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of justice and peace. Today we shall close with our sports roundup. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Leo XVI on Monday evening visited 15-year-old Ignacio Gonzalez at the Bambino Gesù Hospital in Rome, where the Spanish participant in the Youth Jubilee has been hospitalized for some days now. This is according to a statement from the Holy See Press Office on Tuesday. Ignacio suffers from a severe disease that affects his respiratory tract. The Pope arrived at the hospital's intensive care unit without warning and spent about 30 minutes with the young patient, his parents Pedro, Pablo and Carmen Gloria, and the other members of the family. After consoling them and as he concluded his visit, Pope Leo, together with those present, recited the Our Father before imparting his apostolic blessings on them. Ignacio is sedated, so he was not able to interact with the Pope. But for his parents, the visit was a consolation from God. The Pope's visit is a sign that God has not abandoned me, Carmen Gloria said. Pedro Pablo, for his part, said that the Pope's words were the best thing that could have happened to them, explaining that the Holy Father told them that the important thing is to do God's will, that our true place is eternal life in heaven. Already during the prayer vigil at Tor Vergata on August 2nd, the Holy Father invited the crowd of 1 million young people to pray for the young Spaniard, as well as for two other pilgrims who died during their stay in Rome for the Great Jubilee Gathering. The Vatican's Fabrica di San Pietro and the International Center for the Study of the Preservation and Restoration of Cultural Property, ICROM, a couple of days ago signed a new alliance to empower African youth in heritage conservation. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
Putting into practice their shared commitment to cultural heritage and future generations, the Director General of ICROM, an intergovernmental organization dedicated to the conservation of cultural heritage in every region of the world, and the President of the Fabrica di San Pietro in the Vatican have signed a strategic partnership agreement. ICROM Director General Anna Francesca Maria Gujral and the President of the Fabrica of San Pietro, Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, signed the agreement during these days, which focuses on cultural heritage, conservation, craftsmanship, and international cooperation. It lays the foundation for joint collaboration and capacity-building initiatives, with particular emphasis on enhancing artisan skills for the sustainable restoration and preservation of cultural heritage. At the heart of the agreement is the commitment to promote local skills and protect Africa's rich heritage and create socioeconomic opportunities for young people through the development of their talents. Director General Maria Gujral praised the agreement, saying, "Heritage is much more than we inherit. It's a living expression of the identities that preceded us and that accompany us as we shape tomorrow, and that culture is a bridge, a source of unity and renewal that keeps us human, evolving and enduring through generations." The head of the Fabrica di San Pietro, the office that manages St. Peter's Basilica, that's Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, he said that through this educational project, the Fabrica, through its School of Arts and Crafts, is opening the door of the Vatican Basilica to young African artists and artisans, offering them the opportunity to acquire unique skills in the conservation and enhancement of cultural heritage. He says, "Sharing the knowledge gained over the centuries and transmitting the craftsmanship excellence that preserves St. Peter's Basilica represents a commitment to the growth of new generations of professionals in the field of cultural heritage protection in a spirit of service, authentic fraternity, and love for the beauty that leads to God." I'm Thaddeus Jones.
At the end of their 30th July to 4th August 20th Plenary Assembly, Members of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, unveiled a 12-point roadmap to guide the ministry of the Catholic Church on the continent for the next 25 years. The document bearing the 12-point roadmap was deliberated upon and voted for during the plenary assembly held in Rwanda's capital city, Kigali, under the theme Christ, Source of Hope, Reconciliation and Peace. Each area of focus was presented in five steps: the opening pieces of a pastoral situation, an African wisdom, a concrete observation on African reality, a vision statement, and a call to action in some concrete implementation steps. Introducing the document, the Secretary General of SECAM, Father Raphael Simbine, noted it was a vision document that has the objective to inspire. And he went on saying the document serves as a source of inspiration from which national and regional episcopal conferences, religious congregations and ecclesial movements may draw their strategic plans and programs during this period from this jubilee to the next. The Catholic bishops lament the fact that despite Africa inheriting vibrant faith, some regions on the world's second largest continent have not encountered Christian faith being deeply rooted in daily life or culture. The lack of encounter of Christian faith in some regions, SECAM members say, creates a gap between what is professed and how people live. They say Africa remains a spiritual home where faith and hope are meant to grow and inspire the world. They propose the way forward in boosting evangelization, including the need to proclaim the gospel explicitly, rethinking faith formation and initiation, deep evangelization that transforms cultures, and promoting witness of life and a sense of belonging. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Sudan has accused the United Arab Emirates of sending foreign mercenaries to support the paramilitary rapid support forces in the country's ongoing civil war. In a statement released Monday, Sudan's foreign ministry said it has what is called irrefutable evidence that Emirati authorities sponsored and financed mercenaries from Colombia and fighters from several neighboring African countries. However, no proof or specific African nations were named. The ministry said that this unprecedented phenomenon poses a significant threat to peace and stability in the region and across Africa. There has been no immediate response from the UAE or Colombia. Armed men on motorbikes have killed 11 people and kidnapped at least 70 others in northwest Nigeria, witnesses said on Monday. The attack happened late on Saturday in Sabogarin Damri village in Zamfara state. A resident said the gunmen opened fire as they rode in, taking women and children among the captives. Zamfara has seen a surge in violence in recent years, with criminal gangs, locally known as bandits, targeting rural communities for ransom. In Zimbabwe, the government has banned the import and sale of second-hand clothing, as well as street and night vending in cities across the country. The move is aimed at reducing illegal trading, congestion, and poor hygiene in central business districts. Local government minister Daniel Garwe announced the directive during a meeting with Harare city councillors on Monday. He instructed local authorities nationwide to enforce the ban immediately. The minister also raised alarm over drug activity linked to night vending, saying it poses a threat to public health and national security. Garwe urged police to enforce the rules with care, following past incidents where civilians were injured during street cleanup operations. Rwanda has agreed to take up to 250 migrants deported from the United States as part of a new deal signed between the two countries in June. According to a Rwandan official who spoke on condition of anonymity, the U.S. has already provided an initial list of 10 individuals for vetting. Under the Trump administration, the U.S. has pushed to increase deportations to third countries, including South Sudan and Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland. And the government of Somaliland has declared a state of humanitarian emergency in four coastal regions due to worsening drought conditions that endanger lives and livelihoods. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Justice and Peace. The first ever conference of the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations on the African continent concluded last Thursday in Uganda with a call to women in Africa to lead the cause for caring for creation and to accompany others through their challenges. The conference was attended by more than 220 women from different African countries and from other regions, as well as 950 women leaders from the 19 Catholic dioceses of Uganda. The World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations is organized into 5 regions, that is Africa, Asia-Pacific, Europe, Latin America and the Caribbean, and North America. The conference took place in the town of Entebbe in Kampala Archdiocese. It opened on July 28th and was guided by the theme, Women Custodians of Mother Earth. Among other topics, the participants discussed peace and tranquility in families, children's education, discipline, and the inclusion of women in development initiatives. The president of the Africa region, Mary Satenga from Tanzania, addressed the Catholic women in the following words.
This assembly brings together Catholic women from across our continent, working as pilgrims of hope, rooted in faith, and bound by a shared mission to nurture our families, uphold human dignity, protect creation, and promote peace. Our conference theme calls us all to return to the heart of our family life, to reclaim parenting as the sacred vocation. The family is not only the first school of vision, it is the first church. We must raise our children who are anchored in truth, shaped by faith and led by example. We also reaffirm our commitment of protecting our environment, our common home, inspired by Laudato Si. As African women, we are already sowing seeds of ecological conversion through our Planting Hope campaign.
Mrs. Sitenga described the conference as a vital platform to advance the presence, participation, and responsibility of Catholic women in society and in the church, in order to enable them to fulfill their mission of evangelization and to work for human development.
As Pope Leo reminds us in his prophetic word, in Christ we are two as seeds, and indeed, seeds of peace and hope. Yes, we are the seeds. We bloom through struggle. We rise in resilience. We bring hope where there is despair. And we must not remain silent in the face of violence and discrimination against women. Through the World Women Observatory and our continental network, now active in 22 countries, we are working together to dismantle systems of oppression and offer women pathways of healing and empowerment. Every life lifted, every voice heard, every girl protected, these are victories of our faith. As women of Africa, we carry a unique grace. We are mothers of the nation. We are pillars of the church. We are custodians of our culture and bearer of peace. Let us go forth from Uganda with renewed strength, inspired by the Virgin Mary, and committed to sowing peace, cultivate love, and planting hope across all the corners of this continent.
The President General of the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations, Mrs. Monica Santamarina, in her opening address, praised Catholic women in Africa for their active role in the life of the Church and of society at large, emphasizing that God who created women created them for a purpose.
This meeting is a great opportunity to reflect together on who we are And what is our mission today as WUKO African Women, a global network of Catholic organizations called to work together to evangelize and promote human development, particularly of women? We are mothers, daughters, grandmothers, leaders, wives, single women, and caregivers, each carrying the light of Christ into our homes, parishes, and communities in this great continent, Africa, the continent of hope, one of the only ones where the Catholic Church is growing rapidly. Africa, so full of life and nature, a continent where women are brave and full of joy and energy, and very, very beautiful indeed. But where there are still many challenges to be met, particularly with respect to vulnerable women, ecology, and family life. A continent indeed with contradictions, but full of possibilities.
Uganda joined the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations in 2017, hosting the Africa Regional Conference after just 8 years of membership is an achievement because it is a sign of confidence the organization has in the Catholic women movement in the country. The conference opening mass was celebrated at Namugongo Uganda Martyrs Shrine in Kampala and was presided over by the Archbishop of Kampala, His Grace Paul Ssemwogerere. This is what the Archbishop told the women.
How proud we are as a church to see many of you very active in all church activities and many times leading the way. We also know the struggles and trials that you go through and you endure. We also know some of the sufferings that you go through. As I was coming here, I was listening to the news and I heard that a man, I don't want to refer to him as a husband, went back home, suspected his wife having had an affair with another man without any proof, got out a hole and killed her. That was yesterday. And that's one among many. Many women have had their lives taken. They have lost their lives. Many are still suffering. There's domestic violence. We must resist this kind of violence as women. These are the issues that we should bring forward and advocate, teach, and condemn. We join you here to represent the chairman of the Episcopal Conference and all the bishops to show the support of the Catholic Church in Uganda.
The conference was hosted by the Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference, whose Secretary General Monsignor Johnny Kauta was present in the opening ceremony. This is what he told the participants.
Allow me to appreciate everything you have done for me on behalf of everybody at the Catholic Secretariat. We want to bless you women and encourage you to continue to do the good things that the Lord is enabling you to do.
Mary Assumpta Gidudu is the president of the Uganda Catholic Women Council. She addressed the participants in the following words.
I wish to thank the Central Organizing Committee who kept on working together with us to make this day a success. I thank and recognize all women who have come from Africa region and Mexico at large. All visitors who have come, thank you. Thank you so, so much. Thank you for honoring this invitation and making our day historical and memorable. I also want to thank our own Catholic women. Thank you so much for honoring this day, for making it so warm that we can welcome our dear sisters who have come from all over the continent. I think this is a lovely gesture, and please do it again when time comes.
Mary Assumpta Gidudu, the president of the Uganda Catholic Women Council, speaking there last Thursday in Entebbe, Uganda, at the Africa Regional Conference of the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tomosime.
This is a Sports Roundup and welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Madagascar coach Romualdo Rokotondrabe found reasons to celebrate a hard end point while his Mauritanian counterpart Ruiz Lopez Garaz left the pitch frustrated and disappointed after their opening group big clash at the Total Energies Confederation of African Football African Nations Championship CAN Pamoja 2024 ended in a goalless draw. Madagascar, who were reduced to 10 men before halftime following a red card to Captain Dax, held firm against a Mauritania side that failed to capitalize on their numerical advantage in front of a packed stadium on Sunday night. Coach Romualdo praised the character and spirit of his players, calling the result a moral victory under the circumstances. In contrast, Mauritania coach Ruiz Lopez Garay was left to lament his side's inability to convert their dominance into goals, describing the goalless draw as a missed opportunity. The frustration was evident as Garay reflected on the game that many expected Mauritania to win, especially after Madagascar were reduced to 10 men. Looking ahead to their second group game against tournament co-hosts Tanzania, who won their open against Burkina Faso, the coach called on his players to raise their game. As the first round of Group B fixtures concludes, the group remains wide open, with every point gained or missed proving decisive in what is shaping up to be one of the most tightly contested groups of the Total Energies CAN 2024. Meantime, Nigeria on Tuesday began another serious quest for a continental title when the home-based senior men's team, Super Eagles B, took on cup holders Senegal in the opening match of Group D of the 8th African Nations Championship. Bronze medal winners in 2014 and runners-up 4 years later, Nigeria have blown hot and cold in the 16-year-old tournament that is exclusively reserved for footballers playing their trade with valid contracts in the domestic league of their countries on the continent. Ahead of the inaugural edition hosted by Cote d'Ivoire in 2009 and won by the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Eagles squandered a 2-goal lead over arch rivals Ghana in Accra to end up losing 2-3 and then failed to find the back of the net in the return encounter in Calabar. Ghana qualified instead. 2 years later, Nigeria also failed to reach the finals in Sudan. In 2014, Stephen Keshe coached the Eagles to a bronze medal finish in South Africa, overturning a 3-0 deficit at halftime against Morocco. Nigeria failed to make it out of the group stage in Rwanda in 2016, but then went all the way to the final in the following edition, losing to host Morocco on a frosty night in Casablanca. Super Eagles B then failed to qualify for the next two editions hosted by Cameroon in 2021 and Algeria 2 years later. Staying on in Nigeria, where President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has announced a reward of $100,000 for each member of the victorious national female basketball team, the Tigress. He announced the reward at a reception organized for the team at the presidential villa in Abuja on Monday. The president, who was represented by Vice President Kashim Shettima, commended the team for making Nigeria proud. The Nigerian team defeated Mali 78-64 in the final at the Palais des Sports de Trècheville in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire on Sunday night to secure their 7th AfroBasket title overall and 5th consecutive title. The victory cemented their dominance in African women's basketball. Media reports have in the recent days spoken of the controversial deal that giant Barcelona has signed with the Democratic Republic of Congo. This agreement entails advertising the Democratic Republic of Congo using the T-shirts worn by Barcelona players while in training. One of the terms of the deal are that Barcelona players will have the slogan of Democratic Republic of Congo, Hearts of Africa emblazoned or printed on the back of their training t-shirts. And as part of the deal, Barcelona's Camp Nou Stadium will host what the club called an immersive exhibition to showcase the cultural diversity and sporting tradition of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The country's sports minister, Didier Budimbu, told the media that the agreement includes a training camp in Spain for 50 young Congolese players and 10 coaches. Barcelona says it will also run camps for children across a range of sports, including basketball, handball, and roller hockey. The partnership, as they are calling the deal, will commence at the start of the next season after the top Spanish football team agreed on a 4-year deal with the Central African country. What is noteworthy is the fact that this enterprise will reportedly cost the Democratic Republic of Congo 50 million United States dollars or 44 million euros. Actually, the deal aimed at promoting tourism and investment has sparked debate in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where critics argue the fact that the funds should address pressing domestic needs, such as the chronically unfunded National Football League. What is even more critical about this deal is the fact that all this is happening even as the M23 rebel group has seized large parts of Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo just in this year alone. But supporters have, however, said they see it as a valuable opportunity to raise the country's global profile. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.